This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 22nd, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. Where does healthcare policy lend itself to free market reforms? Looking at dental care may be instructive for reforming healthcare provision more broadly. Sal Nuzzo is Vice President of Policy at the James Madison Institute. We spoke at the State Policy Network annual meeting in October about the burgeoning field of dental therapy.
What we're looking at in the whole scope of healthcare reform and healthcare policy is a shift away from talking about how to either repeal the ACA or prop up the ACA and begin looking a little bit more surgically at areas of healthcare policy where we can begin to bring more market forces. And one of those areas that we have done quite a bit of research and some policy wins have, you know, kind of come to pass is in this area of impacting dental care and the dental shortages that exist nationwide. And just a couple of facts and figures to kind of put it into perspective. More than 56 million people live in areas that are designated as having a shortage of dentists. And that is something that has, you know, broad impacts on overall health, both short and long term. I mean, 56 million people are living in areas designated as having a shortage of dentists. And that has both short and long-term implications on overall health health aspects. Just thinking about it from pediatric dental care, a child's oral health early on has implications on their health into adolescence and adulthood. Currently, there are just looking at the Medicaid population, ages 1 to 20, 48% of the kids on Medicaid do not see a dentist. And when you look at that, what evolves is these horrific cases of kids that are in some cases dying because they did not get to a dentist and they did not get a $10 antibiotic for an infection that ends up going to their brain or going into their bloodstream and actually killing them. And that's not hyperbole. There are cases that have been documented over the course of the last 10 years of this happening.
Okay, so, and probably a smaller but no less impactful cost of not receiving proper dental care is people who don't have a full head of teeth face employment discrimination. They have difficulty being a part of proper society.
Absolutely. You have an entire social aspect of this, and it stretches to employment, it stretches relationally, it stretches to in some cases, in extreme cases, even interaction with law enforcement, just in terms of individuals' abilities to kind of consistently maintain oral health care.
If the shortage exists and we're going to maintain our health care laws generally the way they are, what is the fix for states that would like to help people access this kind of care?
Well, states are where the solutions are going to lie. And that's an important opening to the concept of scope of practice expansion. And there is this interesting overlap that exists in policy in the healthcare space between occupational licensing and scope of practice expansion. And I'd like to talk about the concept that's working in a few states called dental therapy. Dental therapy is a new occupational category within the dental space. The easiest way to describe it is it's a little bit more skill set than a dental hygienist, but not quite an actual dentist. And these are highly skilled individuals who are able to perform a lot of the routine oral maintenance tasks. Think of tooth extractions, think of filling cavities, think of not just, you know, kind of your overall cleaning, but working on some of the gum disease issues that folks will face. And it allows a dentist in a practice to begin to focus on some of the more kind of higher end problems that folks are facing or coming into their office with.
I cannot imagine dentists think that the widespread proliferation of dental therapists is a good thing.
That's absolutely a fair assessment and a very good hypothesis. However, I would point to the fact that this is one of those areas where trade associations that represent dentists are very much interested in kind of protecting the turf of dentistry. However, if you talk with actual dentists practicing, especially those that are practicing in rural areas who recognize that the shortages are real and exist, and you explain the concept to them, actual dentists love the idea. And dentists would, in fact, embrace the idea of bringing in one, two, or three dental therapists into their own practices to allow them to focus in on some of the more high-end types of care that they would like to do and allow the practice to expand and be able to serve their populations.
So my assumption is that dentists, as a half measure, would be perfectly willing to accept dental therapists as a legitimate scope of practice if they're working under the house of a dentist, the way that physicians would prefer that nurse practitioners work directly for them.
Yeah, and you're kind of getting right into the heart of the debate on, especially in those states that have embraced the concept and have expanded the practice out, is kind of those regulations and the rules governing how a dental therapist performs their duties. The questions to answer could be whether that therapist has to have a dentist in the building, whether or not they have to have a dentist in the room with them. As you can imagine, there are different implications for kind of the how that all plays out. And those are the types of things that if we can get past sort of the kind of crony protectionism of your typical trade associations, we can begin to have a real robust debate on, all right, what's in the best interest of patients and how do we get care to, you know, 56 million people who are not seeing a dentist regularly and who need better oral care and better access to services.
If the half measure is the desire to mm-hmm. compel these therapists to work directly under the supervision or within the house of a dentist, that does nothing to address the areas that are underserved or not served at all by dentists.
Yes, that's absolutely one of the major concerns, especially in areas that are designated as having a dental shortage. One of the policy debates going on is whether a dental therapist would need to practice in the same building, or some states are actually kind of testing out having dental therapists be able to practice within a certain radius of a dentist. And that allows dental therapists to be able to come in and serve an underserved community in a way that, you know, currently just does not exist.
Sal Nuzzo is Vice President of Policy at the James Madison Institute. We spoke at the State Policy Network annual meeting in Salt Lake City. You can rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.